Welcome to Black Belt Selling with Stephanie and Anna Scheller. I'm Anna.
And I'm Stephanie.
We are a mother-daughter team who are passionate about helping you take your business to the next level through sales training and coaching. On Black Belt Selling, we bring you content and we have phenomenal guest interviews like the one we're going to have today to help you kick through those obstacles that are keeping you from realizing your full potential, making more money, and realizing your dreams. You can find us at facebook.com/groups/blackbeltselling. That's facebook.com/groups/blackbeltselling. And Stephanie, I am so excited about the guest we have today. We have none other than the sales hunter, Mark Hunter. Mark, welcome to Black Belt Selling.
Hey, thank you so much for allowing me to be on today, and I'm looking forward to helping all of the audience members really take their sales to the next level.
Now, Mark, you are the author of a book that you're just going to be publishing here in the next month or so called High Profit Prospecting. But what else have you done before we get into the content today? What else have you done in your career as a salesperson?
Yeah. Well, you know, what's interesting is a lot of people have been chasing me to write this book for a long time. I said, no, I'm not ready. I've been doing consulting for about 18 years. It was 18 years ago that I walked out of my corporate job at a great job at a Fortune 200 company. I was director of sales on operations and been in positions like that for about 15, 16 years. And I said, you know what? I don't want to grow old being stuck in a corporate job. So I left and began my own business, consulting with companies all around the U.S., and today I travel all over the world. I'm on the road about 200, 250 days a year. A lot of what I do is speaking, keynote speaking, but really what my passion is sharing information. I blog incessantly out on my blog, out on the website, thesaleshunter.com, and along the way we've picked up a number of awards for one of the best bloggers, sales, all those various stuff. But really what it comes down to is I had a great time putting all this knowledge I've been talking about into this book, High Profit Prospecting, and looking forward to getting it out to help other people be more successful.
Wow. Well, I've got to say, I'm excited about this because, I think Mom was telling you a little bit about me, but my story, my background, I thought I had this all figured out, and I ignored learning and teaching and any of that stuff for a long time. And now that I've realized how much incredible information is out there, I am an avid reader. I adore this stuff. So, in your book, though, you say 80% of salespeople get washed out or fired in their first year, which I'm kind of surprised it's that low. What are they doing or not doing that causes so many to find a different career field, to realize, hey, this wasn't one for me?
Yeah, well, it really comes down to the fact that people just won't prospect. I mean, I'll go back to how I got into sales. I owe my career in sales to the Seattle Police Department. I really do. I owe my career. Yes, I owe my career to the Seattle Police Department. I went to college to get a degree in marketing, and I wanted to go into advertising. That was going to be, I was going to write commercials and do all kinds of this really fun stuff. And then I got 3 speeding tickets the last semester, my senior year of college. Well, a few months after college was out, I suddenly realized I couldn't afford car insurance, which left me with 3 options: bread truck driver, taxi cab driver, or find a sales job that supplied me with a car. I chose the latter, and I thought, okay, I'm going to get a really safe job. I'm going to get a job where I have a car and I go around and I visit accounts, customer service. Well, that didn't work out too well, and this is what happens. So what happens is a lot of people get into sales because they think it's, they don't have to prospect. They don't have to prospect. Well, very quickly, I learned that, and it was only because of the fact I couldn't afford car insurance that I had to stick with it. So guess what? I had to learn how to prospect. Because if I had to give up that car, I wasn't going to be driving. And it just doesn't work. So, yeah.
That
so,
is so
you know,
awesome.
But it comes down to the fact that people get out of sales. People don't make it in sales because they're afraid to pick up the phone. They're afraid to prospect. They're afraid to reach out and find new customers. So they choose something easier. And see, for me, I didn't have an easier route. It was like, I'm not going to be a bread truck driver, and I'm not going to be a taxi cab driver. I'm stuck. I got to make this thing work.
Wow. You know, it's really funny because in a lot of senses, I think people who are becoming or who are successful in sales kind of find themselves in the same position. They're not willing to do something else, and they really have to make it work. And so, you know, I mean, for me, that's really been very true myself. But, you know, Mark, prospecting has changed a great deal over the last 25 years, because when you first got started, you know, not so long ago, because you're not old, remember.
Thank you for saying that. Thank you.
Oh, my pleasure. But when you were first starting to sell car insurance, you know, you probably had a little different go of prospecting than what we have today with the internet and everything. Would you mind talking about that difference?
Yeah, and it has changed. And this is what's funny. And I'm gonna dispel a couple. Well, let me back when I got into sales. The salesperson had all the information. And if the customer wanted to do business, if the customer wanted to find out, they had to engage with you, okay? So they engaged with you. And so as a result, salespeople really, you could say, had it easier, okay? It was easy because, you know, now today they have this thing called the internet. Oh, no. And the problem is the customer knows all the information. The customer never has to engage with the salesperson unless every other means of buying doesn't work. I mean, how many times, I mean, I'm guilty of this. I will buy stuff off the internet. It may not be exactly what I'm looking for, but I'll buy it because I really don't want to talk to a salesperson. I just don't want to talk to a salesperson. But this is what's – so what everybody thinks is, selling is really hard today. It's hard today because the internet has taken away all the easy business. And I really tell people, I say, no, it's just the opposite. The internet actually makes it easier for people to prospect and to sell. And here's why. 25 years ago, I had to cold call. Cold call! No, please! No. Right? I mean, that's like rejection. Nothing like being rejected at 8:02 in the morning. No. But here's the whole thing about cold calling. Today, cold calling, it's the cold that doesn't work anymore. The calling still works.
Mm-hmm.
You see, today with the internet, wow, we have the ability to find out about anything. I mean, right now as people are listening to this, I bet you they're Googling Mark Hunter. They're Googling the Sales Hunter because they're trying to find out information about me. You know, people stumble upon your show. What are they doing? They're Googling you. People. I mean, we always Google people. I mean, how many times do we watch television who is dead or alive? Let's Google them. What does Wikipedia see? So what is really interesting is that yes, the customer is empowered, but we as salespeople have the ability to reach more people than we've ever reached before.
Mm-hmm.
We can't look at our market as being just this little community. We really have to look at our market as being the globe, because you know all we have to do is figure out how do we position what we sell to be able to satisfy a bigger market. So I think prospecting is easier today than it's ever been. And I think with that comment, some people just fell out of their chair. If you're driving, please keep two hands on the wheel. Please keep two hands on the wheel.
You know what I love about what you just said, Mark? Like, you just destroyed everyone's excuses for why they don't prospect. Like, I hear it all the time. I'm like, that's incredible. You just made this – we come up with excuses, right? What's the quote? I think it says if you want it, you'll find a way. If you don't, you'll find an excuse.
Oh, and without like, doubt. Yeah.
Oh, that was awesome. Thank you. That is cool. So you did have a quote, though. I'm actually really curious about this one. You said, a mistake far too many salespeople make is failing to identify characteristics of their perfect customer and then work backwards to determine their perfect prospect.
Yes.
Can you kind of explain that one to our listeners a little bit?
Yes. Yes. Let me give you the example, and I think we can all relate to it.
Too many salespeople wind up having to discount sales. You know, oh, we got to discount the price to close the deal. We got to discount the price.
Yeah.
And the reason you are is because you're trying to take a Walmart shopper and make them a Nordstrom customer.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't work. It doesn't work.
Yeah.
You see, what happens is I want to find out who is my perfect customer. Then I work upstream, and that's the type of prospect I want to get. But see, here's the problem. Too many salespeople, they're absolutely afraid of prospecting. They're afraid of prospecting.
Uh-huh.
So what happens is if anybody just says yes, if anybody just responds to a phone call, if anybody just responds to an email or fills out an online form, oh, wow, yippee, it's a lead. And we're going to turn that into a customer. And they keep beating themselves up to try to take – and it was like, people – all that person wanted was a piece of information. They weren't a customer at all. See, so what happens is we allow ourselves to chase the shiny object. We allow ourselves to, just because they responded. And I see this a lot in the insurance industry. I see this a lot where I see people in the insurance industry where people say, oh, yeah, I'll have coffee with you. Or I'll, and they think, oh, wow, it's going to be a client. And no, it was just somebody who really – just wanted a free cup of coffee. That's all, and didn't have the confidence to say no. They don't want to meet with you because you're such a nice person.
Right. Yeah.
Big mistake people make. Big mistake. Yeah. We wind up spending time with prospects that are nothing more than suspects.
Mm. Oh, that was good.
And then we get frustrated because they don't go anywhere. We're working. And why can't we close those people? They're not the right people.
And then we sit there and say, well, prospecting just doesn't work. See, I told you prospecting doesn't work. It doesn't work. We need to take out more ads. We need to do more social media. We need to do more of everything else but sit there and absolutely prospect. Which is what you've got to do. And 95% of the contacts you make, they aren't going to go anywhere. But, you know, I raise this question. Do you want to eat? Then pick up the phone. Whoa, that was cold. Wow, that was cold. I'm getting warmed up here.
Well, you know, while we're talking about it, let's talk about you list 6 myths in your book about prospecting. And, of course, we don't want to give everything away because we want people to buy your book when it comes out. But let's talk about a couple of them. And, you know, I kind of like spray and pray? Spray and pray?
Oh, yeah. I made 5 calls last week, or I made 25 calls last month. That should be enough. You know, it's like just spraying it out there. And thinking, all I have to do is make one phone call to one person one time, and suddenly, magically, that's going to turn into a customer. It just doesn't happen. Well, one of the big challenges we have with spraying and praying is we spend all of our time trying to get our nerve up, make the call, and then we make a call, then we make another one, then we make another one, then we make another one. Wow. Well, I made my calls for this month. I made my calls for this quarter. It doesn't work. You've got to stay in the game. This is one of the reasons why we forget that we need to be calling continuously. We need to be calling these people time and time and time again. Whoa, I'm bugging them. No, you're not bugging them, because each message you're leaving them is a different message, and it's so important. I got to leave. Uh-huh. Each time I contact somebody, I share with them a different message because it's about them. Not about me.
Yeah. Wow. That, you know what? That's so cool. You know, Mark, we've never chatted before, but I've been telling people this forever. I'm like, you got to, you know, the time you upset people is when you call and call and call and call and say the same thing. Hey, are you ready to get started yet? Hey, are you ready to get started yet? Hey, do you want to sit down with me for lunch? Hey, do you want to sit down with me for coffee? Hey, do you want? And, you know, stop asking about, like, basically all you're saying is, hey, do you want to do what I want you to do? Like,
yeah.
Talk about them. I mean, that's so cool. Wow, I like this guy, Mom. We should have him back on the show.
Oh, we're going to have him back on the show. No worries. No worries. But we've only talked about one myth. Let's talk about another one.
Yeah, yeah. You want to throw out one or you want me to pick?
Why don't you pick this one?
Well, I'll tell you what the one is I'll prospect when I'm done taking care of my existing customers. Oh.
That's the killer. That'll kill your pipeline.
I got to take care of all my customers. I got to take care of my customers because they're really important. They're really important. They're really important. I just don't have time to prospect. I just don't have time to prospect. Here's a little simple rule that I tell people to do. If you have a customer, and we'll say you have a big, this is a really important customer. Okay, so we'll say that customer is 25% of your business. If they are 25% of your business, then you should never allow yourself to spend more than 12% of your time with them.
Uh-huh.
So in other words, one half. So that what you're doing is, because otherwise what'll happen is you may have five or six customers that do 80-90% of your business. So what happens is you spend all your time just dealing with them, and you'll never find time to prospect. You know,
uh-huh.
Minimally, I don't care how much business you have today, you need to be prospecting at least 10% of your time prospecting. And I really tell people the typical norm is 30%. 30% of your day prospecting. And that's regardless of whether or not you've got a developed business or an undeveloped business.
So what do you, you know, I know I get people all the time who like to tell me about how, well, you know, if I don't take care of my current customers, then I'm not, you know, what's the point in prospecting new ones if I can't take care of my current ones? So I know what my response is, but I'm really curious. When you get someone who sits there and tries to tell you why your reasoning doesn't work, what's your response? What do you tell them?
Well, I tell them, you're right. Your existing customers are very critical. But what should happen if they go away? What should happen if they go away? You've got to create insurance. Prospecting, you know, you don't live in a home without homeowner's insurance. I would hope you don't drive a car without car insurance. Prospecting is the insurance you have with your big accounts. It's a very simplistic way to look at it. But you must create time. Because here's the other thing. As you prospect, you're going to find new messages. You're going to find new ideas. You're going to find new things that are going to help you with your existing customers. Hey, isn't that cool? You're becoming more valuable to your existing customers because of what you're learning from prospecting. And vice versa. The two really complement each other.
Wow.
So I would agree. I see that in my housing business tremendously, and this isn't about my housing business, but it really does work. The more I've been prospecting, the more I've been learning about what other people want, the more I can look at my customers and go, oh, my gosh, let's see if this is something they could use, you know.
Right.
It's perfect.
Right. That's the neat thing about prospecting. For you and your business, it's perfect because you may be prospecting with a new potential customer, and they're going to bring ideas up to you, and you go, wow, I got to take this back to an existing customer, right? I mean, we really in sales are our customers' research and development department. You think about that. What are we doing? We're out there getting new ideas, new insights.
Yep.
And again,
yep.
That's what prospecting allows us to do.
That's so cool because, you know, and that's funny because I tell people all the time, you have to earn your commission, right? You have to be the expert. I use the story of Henry Ford all the time. You know, Henry Ford told everyone, if I need someone who's an expert in anything, I can push a button on my desk and have them in the room in 24 hours. And I tell people, see, if you consider yourself the expert to Henry Ford and bring that value to the room, I mean, that's such a cool concept. And I've had so many people tell me that it completely transformed what they were talking or how they were talking to their clients.
Awesome. Yeah. It changes the value you bring to your customer. Because think about this. If all you do is bring the same insights that they can find on the internet, they don't need you.
Exactly.
But if you can bring insights, if you can spin something differently, if you can ask questions, if you, you know, that's why prospecting is so important, because you have to sell yourself. You know, we talk, you know, sell yourself first. Well, that's right. But you sell yourself in a way that creates competence, that that prospect sees, wow, she is really competent. I've got to make sure I'm having conversations with her.
Yeah, let me get her on my team, because I want her to be involved.
Right.
Now, I
right,
know we're blowing through our time very quickly. It always never ceases to amaze me how quickly we move through time here. But I do want to ask, so what are some of the things you consider are the best practices for that first contact, when you're first getting in touch with people? What are some of the best practices for that?
Yeah, one of the best practices is realize your objective is to earn the right, the privilege, honor, and respect to be able to meet with that person again. You know, don't try to make that, oh, I got to close this sale on this one thing. Now, maybe if you're selling something very, very, very simple, but I just want to earn the right, the privilege, honor, and respect to be able to meet with that person again. Now, if I can, in that initial call, uncover one piece of information about you, then guess what? I've earned the right, the privilege, honor, and respect to be able to call you again. You know, that to me is the single greatest, best practice anybody can do. Now, let me share with you one more regarding phone and one more regarding email real quick. One, phone call. Remember that your phone call can go one of three ways. It can be answered by what we'll call a traditional gatekeeper, somebody who is just answering the phone. Two, it can roll to voicemail. Or three, it can go to the person you want to actually talk to. But you know what? In each one of those three cases, you have to have a different strategy. You have to have a different approach. Mm. Too many people get caught off guard. Oh, they didn't expect it to go to voicemail. Oh, are they somebody answered. Or, you know, you've got to be prepared for it to go one of three ways. And again, I devote a whole chapter in the book to just that. The other piece regarding email, it's the subject line. If the subject line is not about the person and the first 100 characters, because think about this. Majority of emails today are viewed on a smartphone, viewed on a smart device. And what does that do? It makes your emails look pretty dumb. If it starts off by, hi, I'd like to introduce myself. Anytime I get an email like that, delete. You know, you got to make the message about them and that first 100 characters, because that's typically all that's going to come up on a smartphone. You know, you pull your emails up, and we delete emails much faster on a smartphone than we do on our desktop. And see, the problem is salespeople write their prospecting emails on a laptop or a desktop, you know, some sort of a large monitor, but they're viewed on a smartphone. Big problem. Uh-huh. Again, whole chapter of the book just devoted to how to do email, which takes me to my last point. Don't think that email is the panacea, is the answer. It's kind of like social media.
Yeah.
If you want to go hungry, rely on email too much. You want to go hungry, rely on social media too much. You can't eat likes and clicks and friends and connections.
Nope, absolutely not. And, you know, the bottom line is, Mark, and your book really brings this out, people want to do business with people. And, you know, we hear this over and over and over again. People will do business with people they like and trust. You can't build like and trust over email. You can somewhat over social media, but you don't close business on social media. People want to know who you are. People want to get to know you, but they want to know that you care about them, because it's not about us. We were talking about that, you know?
Right. It's absolutely, prospecting is still a relationship game, getting one-on-one with customers, and that is so essential.
It really is. Now, you know, one of the things, and we just have 5 minutes left, Mark, so we want to make sure that people can get to your book, but I know in your book you were talking about, and there was so much in the book. I mean, you know, for our listening audience, I just have to tell you, it was really hard when I was going through the manuscript to pick the really good stuff, because there was just way too much really good stuff. I mean, he's got scripts in there, and you've got so many awesome ideas. But one of the things I think that would help people is they're going, okay, now I'm willing to do prospecting, but how much time should I spend on it? Because I do need to take care of my customers, and, you know, I do need to do paperwork. And, you know, so you give a nice schedule or a nice ratio there.
I really strive for minimally 10% of your time. And the easiest way to do this is you want to carve out at least 3 2-hour blocks a week where you're going to be prospecting. Now, what I really prefer is time right in the morning or right after lunch. Now, the reason being is because if I come back from lunch, I just sit down and I make my prospecting calls. Boom. I just make them. And when you schedule your time, you got to schedule it. You got to put it on your calendar. Because otherwise, if you don't put it on your calendar, you won't do it. And oh, by the way, you got to tell other people, don't bug me. I'm prospecting. Because what happens is we get too easily distracted, which also means thinking about prospecting is not prospecting. Prospecting is a contact sport. It's a contact sport. You've got to make contact. So you have to carve out at least three, and I don't like doing less than half. You know, I'm only going to prospect for 15 minutes. I don't like that. I want to get in the groove. So I kind of like 3 2-hour windows. People, you know, again, your business is going to be different, but you have to determine. Again, we walk through in the book. There's a whole chapter how to determine what your sales funnel should look like, and how do you know if it's working, and so forth. But to me, that's kind of the minimum standards to get going.
Wow, I 100% agree. And you know, we are pretty much out of time at this point. We've got just a couple minutes to wrap up, but I think everybody needs to go grab a copy of your book. So what is the best way for them to go grab that, Mark?
Sure. It's High Profit Prospecting is the book, and it's out on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, independent bookstores. Let's see, the electronic version, I know on Kindle, gets released on August 20th. The audio version's coming out September 6th, and the book comes out September 20th. But you can get the order. You can go out to Amazon. You can go to your independent bookstore, and if they don't have it, you know, get on their pre-order list for it. But it's. I mean, what is amazing? The publisher told me the other day we're still 4 or 5 weeks from the actual release of the book, and they're already scheduling another printing of the book. So yes, it's doing quite well.
Wow,
That's phenomenal. So guys, in case you didn't know what that means we have sold enough copies already, or not we, but Mark has sold enough copies already. This book has impacted enough people's lives that they need another printing already. So you need to go grab a copy of this book. Grab it on Amazon. Grab it on Barnes & Noble. Whatever the best way for you to get this in your hands. Do not miss out on the opportunity of a lifetime here. You know, every single week we try to bring you something that's going to make a difference for your bottom line, because when it comes down to it, all of us are in sales, and that means all of us are prospecting. So, Mark, I really want to thank you for joining us on the show. This was absolutely a blast. I mean, you were great
to
have
you
here. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well, you know what, guys? We are pretty much done for this week. So what I want to do is encourage you guys, hop on over if you haven't yet. Grab us, join us on Facebook.com/groups/ Black Belt Selling. We'll post a link to grab your copy of Mark's book in the group. So you have got to join us. We post graphics and articles and things to keep you going. In the meantime, I'm Stephanie, here for Anna. And you know what? I'm going to say, Mark, we're going to make you an honorary Black Belt of Selling this week right here in Texas. Black Belt Seller.
All right. I love it.
Make
Thank you and great
a
selling.
Great week.